Today's special bonus episode of Rob Has a Podcast is sponsored by True Car. If you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with the term like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. That's why there's True Price from True Car. Now you know exactly what you'll pay for the car that you want, including the fees and the accessories, before you even get to the dealership. And a True Car dealer will show you the true price on a car like the one that you want, all from the comfort of home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Well, I'll tell you, because True Car will show you what other people paid for the same car that you want. And your certified dealer knows this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cisternino here with some emergency coverage here on Rob Has a Podcast, because I am very excited to follow up with a woman who made such a great impression this week. So many people have been calling her a national treasure. Please welcome back to the podcast the great Teresa Cooper. T-Bird, how are you?
Hey, Rob, I'm good. I'm so excited that we were able to pull all this together. So take it from here.
Yes. So I had given you an assignment, T-Bird, because we were talking about the Brochacho Gate from this last episode of Survivor, of where some of these survivors are talking about how they've coined a new term called the Brochachos. And I said, hold on a second. That can't be right, because I know the man who brought Brochachos to Survivor was one Mr. Terry Dietz, and T-Bird said, well, let me get a hold of him so we can talk to him. And T-Bird, mission accomplished. I'm very happy to bring in Terry Dietz. Terry, how are you?
Hey, Rob, how's it going? T-Bird, what's going on, girl?
Hey, Terry. I'm so glad you're going to clear this up for everybody. This has been a big, fun thing the last few days.
Okay. All right. So we're going to talk about that. But Terry, okay. So just first things first, how have you been? How's everybody doing?
Everybody's doing fine. I mean, my wife and I are doing great, but more importantly, my son is doing great. Just had his third year checkup. His new heart's doing wonderfully. We work out in the weight room, and then I go on an airline trip and I'm sore because he kicks my butt. So it's great. We recently moved back out to San Diego about a year ago, sold my snowblower and bought two new surfboards, and Danny and I are in the water every chance we get.
Okay, that's really great to hear. So happy to hear that Danny is doing well. All right, so Terry, the other night we saw on Survivor this scene where the survivors were getting together, and we got to hear talk about the Brochachos. This is what they said.
You're also part of the Brochachos at this point.
Brochacho?
Who's the president of the Brochachos?
We have to have an election.
I kind of came up with the word.
Okay. Survivor Dan said that he came up with the word. Now, all right, that was on Wednesday night, and so I said instantly, that can't be right, because I know that Terry Dietz is the person who came on this podcast and said,
what's up, bro, Chacho?
Okay. And Terry, I went to Twitter, and I saw that you were talking about this. What was the reaction at the Dietz household?
Oh, it's pretty funny, because I'll tell you my viewpoint, and then I was recently corrected, but I'll tell you that after. Back okay. in like 2012, we were Danny and one of his lacrosse buddies and I were, you know, we were watching like Saturday, like, I don't know, Duke play North Carolina or somebody on TV, and they were talking about flow bucket. So all the lacrosse kids would have a little bit of hair hanging out of their helmet in the back, and their hair was called the flow. So they had, their helmets were called flow buckets, and we were like, Flowmation, flow chacho. And then I'm like, bro chacho, you know, or bro this, flow this, you know, we were just being silly. And all of a sudden I came up with bro chacho, and I thought I invented it. We'll find out later that I did it, but I was like, and then he had to say it with a Spanish accent. He had a bro chacho. You know, you have your bros and they're muchachos. All right. So Brochacho. And it's funny because he would laugh at this. I'd have a layover in Argentina or Madrid And I'd be like talking to the cab drivers in broken Spanish, introducing the new word bro chacho. And they understand enough English to say, hey, wow, yeah, bro. Yeah, he's my bro. Yeah, but bro chacho. And they're like, oh, señor, todo bien, mucho, mucho bien. That's good, good. And then they would go off on their way. And I'm wondering if they started spreading it around the Hispanic world, bro chacho. But it's not easily bestowed on someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got to be a bro, and they got to be a muchacho. And I've never called anybody a bro chacha.
Okay.
I haven't figured that one out.
So T-Bird could not be a bro chacha.
Oh, she can be anything she wants.
All right. So, Terry, this is how it happened. So we were talking about it. And if I'm right, Rob, correct me if I'm not. Rob said, I don't think that Terry's really very happy with this. I'm like, oh, I'm sure he's absolutely fine with it. And Rob said, no, I don't believe he is. And then I read this tweet that you said. You said, okay, my son Danny and I came up with Protacho in 2011. We were messing around with bro and flow words, just like you said, like flow bucket for a lacrosse helmet and Protacho for a close male friend. So everything was fine until you added the last sentence, which was, got to earn that one like Joe Anglin did on S31. So when then Rob said, oh, yeah, I don't think he's happy with this at all. So you don't even know. We got to know. Rob and I've kind of got a little bet going. Were you a little bit upset, or how did you feel? I mean, we got to know, right, Rob? Am I upset?
That's
right, Rob?
I you know what? And to be honest, I only caught part of that episode because I had just gotten home from a flight.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him say bro chacho in the challenge. I didn't get the whole discussion of bro chachos and this and that. And I think that's cool. I mean, you know, that just adds a little credence to, you know, it harkens back to a little old school, even though it was only like six seasons ago. So, yeah. So, I'm good with it, T. I'm good with it.
Okay, all right.
It's not a problem.
But you know what I'm thinking, too, Rob and Terry? If the Protacho, Mike Ryan, I guess, really did his research. He's now on my investigative team. He said it was used in a Captain Morgan commercial in 2010.
Hmm.
And, of course, so if it was used in 2010 and Terry thinks he used it in 2011, that's fairly close. I'm thinking maybe Captain Morgan actually could have possibly taken this from you, Terry.
You know, I wish. And like I said in the tweet, I'm glad I like Captain Morgan. But, hey, that kid Mike Ryan, I think his name is, he came up with that he did a little research and he found it out. And I was like, well, it's cool, you know. And you know, I stand corrected. So I did not make up the word. I had no clue that it was used ever before. So it was just kind of accidental that I think I made it up. Usually don't have that many brain cells to do that kind of stuff. But
yeah.
But I tell you what.
Yes. Go ahead, T-Bird.
Well, I was just going to say what was kind of fun is because everybody was kind of getting involved with it on Twitter. And then Eric Fun Halloween name came up and said, well, I'll just ask Dan about it.
Yes.
And then he asked Dan about
Terry,
it.
Did you know that T-Bird is so on top of what everybody said on Twitter?
Well, yeah, I know. Because I knew we had to get to the bottom of this. But hey, Rob, wasn't it cool how everybody kind of pulled together? Nobody was kind of fighting about it. Everybody was just saying, hey, I'll ask Dan. And then Dan said this. And I mean, and then Dave Healy did say it. It was just great.
Yes. So we did have an update. So, and this is how we work things out in the Survivor world. We get to the bottom of things very quickly and nobody is getting mad or flaming anybody. So T-Bird, what was the update from Dan that we got today?
All right. Let me see what Dan said. I mean, Dan was just the greatest sport. He said something like, oh, what did Dan say? He said, I think he said something like, no, I didn't coin the phrase. I was just saying it was just something for us to use, right? I can't remember.
So what,
exactly.
Yeah, so I have it. So I'm sorry, T-Bird. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I thought you had everything open in your notes. So what Dan ended up saying this afternoon, he weighed in on it after that he was prompted. He said that Eric Laval, the great Eric Laval, had said that He responded with Dan had told him when he said he came up with Brochacho, he did in fact mean he came up with the name for the group of guys, but he was not the inventor of the word. That is what Dan is saying, that he did not come up with the word itself. He just used that word to describe that group.
And well, you know,
I'm glad the word is out there in the common language. It'll be one of the new Webster words next year.
That's right.
Okay, Terry, do you approve of this group of guys calling themselves Brochachos? Have they earned it like Joey Amazing?
Yeah. You know what? In my books, there is nobody, not even Boston Rob. But I swear to God, there is nobody that would beat him in the game of Survivor. And that's the game. Mm-hmm. If you put him out in the real world and you threw him out in the desert somewhere, the dude would survive and probably create you some artwork while he was at it. And cook you a meal. I swear to God, he's a Renaissance man. And, and then everything else with the puzzles, and he's kind of the new school survivor. He understands a bit more about all that. He kind of does all the survival stuff for fun.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
It sounds like Terry's saying that they're not quite yet worthy.
Oh, is that what you're saying, Terry?
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I'm going to have to catch up on the episode and dial back in on who is exactly in this group to see if they've earned it. But it's not me they got to live up to. It's Joe Anglim they got to live up to. So, that's pretty high bar.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
all right. So, Terry, I think you told us you've watched some of this season. You hadn't caught up on all of it. But let me ask you this: do you think you're more a David or a Goliath?
I think I'm more of a Goliath, and one of the reasons is that I think some of the Davids underestimate the gameplay, willpower, and survival ability of some of the Goliaths. And, again, I haven't seen everything, but I've been impressed by both sides. But I just think there's an underestimation by the Davids versus the Goliaths.
Okay.
In my book, just from seeing what I saw. But, all right, so I have a question for you guys. Rob, did you get to actually go out this year to the beginning and the pre-interviews and
no,
stuff
Terry,
like that?
No, Terry, I've never been on location as a broadcaster, yes. Why? What do you want to know?
You're the play-by-play. All right. Mm-hmm. So I got caught up on the first and second episode all at the same time. And I just know that nothing was given to us. And why do people go to a NASCAR race or an Indy 500 race, besides the whole event and everything? What do they want to see?
The crash.
Exactly. All right. So where in this show, now granted, I didn't see the typhoon that came through or wherever else.
Yeah.
But where in this show did I see swollen feet, people uncontrollably chattering their teeth, or somebody going, I want my mama, I want off the island right frickin' now. I want to see somebody cry. I want to see somebody get beat down to the core and for them to come back, and they didn't let them go there to the point where the show is over because these people are basically nut to butt in the hooch,
mm-hmm.
or they didn't prepare for the storm that they knew was coming. And, it's kind of like, I want to see some crying. I want to see some quitting. I want to see people get rocked to their core. And unfortunately, the game, the whole Survivor thing, I think in some ways is getting easy on the contestants. Now, granted, relatively, it's hard, but it's not rocking them to their core
mm-hmm.
like I've seen many seasons before. And maybe I'm just the old school guy spitting out stuff, but I'm not ever seeing anybody lose 30 pounds, 40 pounds anymore.
Yeah.
And I think, are the producers not able to make a show if the people are too in extremis? Mm-hmm. You know, they're just sitting there and they're too tired to even talk or stuff like that. It's like, well, you know what? You guys got to do it. Yeah, and anyway, they gave him a tarp. They gave him some wood, a fire starting kit and all this crap. And I'm like, yeah, it rained like hell in Panama and we didn't get any of that crap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unfortunately I was already gone in S-31 in Second Chances. And we all knew the typhoons were coming or the monsoons were coming and nobody really did anything to prepare. And so I look back on that and I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't think that was right either, but mm-hmm. you know, I was already off the show and all that. And I would have wanked a whole lot more because I think yep. I would have had the ability and guys like Joe Anglim and Jeremy and Andrew Savage you know, just a bunch of the women would have been like, hey, rock me down, take me down to nothing. I'm not quitting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely not quitting.
Yeah.
And I don't like to see the show get tamed down or easy on people. Cause some people rely on people falling apart.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't happen, there goes part of their game.
Terry, you mentioned about you feel like that people are underestimating the survival abilities of the Goliaths. You feel like that's a big part of the game. And if people don't have that, then they don't deserve to be the sole survivor at the end. Is that fair to say?
No, because, and I don't want to call it coattails, but there are things that those people can do to and align with people that are maybe better suited for the whole survivor stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and they align themselves back and forth. And now there's stuff that these people can do, and that's why they're on the show. And there's stuff that other people can do that are, that has everything to do with actually surviving a couple of more weeks without food or having to go get the food. They never show that anymore. They don't show guys going out spearfishing and providing and, you know, it's a lot of gameplay and everything else. And I think there needs to be that
balance,
that part of the show where there's alliances with people that are strong because yes, they are feeding us. And yes, I want to eat. Can I take this guy to the final and beat him? Yeah. You know, I'll do that. But in the meantime, I want him feeding me or I want her who is, you know, trained orcas at SeaWorld out there getting underwater clams for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We like that. Let's keep her.
Yeah.
And they don't because the show is too easy and they know, yeah, I can go without food for the next 3 weeks, maybe.
So you feel like that the elements are sort of like the equalizer and you feel like that if they have softened up the survival part of the game too much, it's almost like that they've made it too easy for some of the other players now if they don't have to navigate some of the things that Mother Nature would throw at you.
You hit the nail on the head.
Interesting.
In fact, here is my like wish list for 39 and 40.
Okay, this is Terry's Christmas list.
And yeah. I win either one of them. That's the first one. but the like 39, I'm like, all right, look, you know, let's go back to the roots. Let's go back to Borneo. And let's treat these people and do every challenge just like we did in Borneo. And let's treat these people just like we did in Borneo. And let's watch them just get hammered. You know, let's just watch, you know, and then do a 40. And it's obviously got to, you know, I'd like all those people to be newbies. But mm-hmm. then the 40th one have just a bunch of people come back. And I have no idea how that would work.
Yeah.
No idea at all. But, yeah, I would definitely like to see a replay of Borneo in the conditions that they put those people through.
And T-Bird, is that what you want also?
Well, I'm still kind of stuck right now. So, Terry, you know, I heard what you said, and I know Rob and I got you at the last second and gave you no time to prepare at all. But I'm telling you, the weather on this last one at day 12 looked pretty doggone brutal where – if they didn't get them out of there with that massive storm and cyclone, I think it might have been the end of the taping because it looked really, they had to get them out of there. So what I'm kind of
impressed. I agree with that. I agree with that part. It was just like, but in the beginning of it, when they left them there on the island and everything else, and then it was just weird because they're like, oh, we're going to give you a tarp and firewood, dry firewood, and a fire making kit. And then the next day they show up at the challenge and were they in between the bands of the typhoon or the eye of the storm? It was sunny out. It was like, wait a minute. Did you just give these guys a tarp yesterday? And now it's sunny and it's 95 degrees out. And it was just kind of weird for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Terry, let me ask you this, because like you're talking the old school right now, which the three of us totally understand. So I look back, of course, Africa, we didn't have water or rain or we didn't have any of that.
You would have killed for a cyclone.
Oh, absolutely. But let me tell you what else we didn't have and get your opinion on this, Terry. We didn't have idols anywhere. And, you know, I would like to, you know, I think to myself, God, I'd love the opportunity to play when there's an idol or something else involved that can change your game up a little bit, but not too many idols. So what's your opinion on that, Terry?
I like the idea of there always being an idol out there, because it does create a whole lot more mental gymnastics for the people that are involved in the game and the voting and how that all goes. I don't like how easy the idols are found. In our thing, God, I was the fourth person to get a clue on where to just try to dig for an idol.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't mean I was going to find it, but you know, then the next guy would have found it whatever. But it's kind of too easy. You look in any funky stump or something else like that, and you find something. It's like, holy crap. You know, that part of it tends to be a little bit easy, though it is a wild card in the game. Too many of them, I think, ruins it. And I like the idea that once it's played or it goes off, there's another one put back in. I do like the idea of having them in the challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Like they got a clue. And maybe it was hard for them to get the clue, but now they got to risk everything to try to get it.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting. I love that. That's a good TV thing. Cause you know, it's like the NFL, how they put the little ring around the guy that actually has the ball and they put a little ring around where the idol is in the challenge. And you see the guy looking at it, you know, it's kind of cool. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of cool.
Terry, one of the twists that they've added this season is the idea of the idol nullifier. Does that help things or hurt things in your mind, that you have a thing now that can take an idol away, or do you not like it because it's another thing?
I would rather, I'm not sure if I like, it is different and people are always looking for something different in Survivor. Mm-hmm. And I think at the end of this season, they'll say, wow, you know, we liked that or we didn't like it. It is something else. I mean, why not just put another idol out there that you can use as an idol, or you can trump somebody else's idol?
Oh,
maybe you do it that way.
The Trump idol. The Trump idol.
No, I don't know about that branding. It might be could be controversial, T-Bird.
Top idol.
Idol. Oh, okay. You're right.
Well, it's like Top Gun, you know?
Yeah.
Top Gun, Top Idol. Yeah, there you go. Get some fighter pilot stuff in there.
Terry, I have to say this, Terry. You know, I know everybody knows, you know, how well you did during the 12th season in Panama, which you placed third. And I know we were all disappointed. You know, I was pulling for you in second chances for you to be pulled from the game. But, it's funny how I know things happen for a reason. And the way you were pulled and the way it changed your life as far as your family and with Danny and Trish and Kayla, it's really a very cool story. But I just don't want to say this because Danny and your family certainly raised awareness for organ donation, which is, you know, with Danny Strong. So I want to say kudos to your family for everything y'all have done for that. And it reminds me too, you know, back in Africa, Propes was able to pull in the AIDS epidemic, and then all the money from everything that was auctioned off was given to Elizabeth Glazer Pediatric AIDS. So it's so cool that this wonderful, cool family of Survivor is able to bring in all these storylines that affect everybody, and certainly Danny Strong did. So kudos to you guys for that.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, and a lot of that goes to both Ann O'Grady and Jeff, because we approached both of them, and Ann O'Grady from CBS, for those that don't know, she is, and, they were both on board in a heartbeat. And it was kind of weird because Jeff had recently been like the keynote speaker at, I think it was the Dallas, Texas Regional, Organ Donation Foundation.
Oh, wow.
And he met recipients and people who gave, one of two organs that they had and all that type of thing. And he's like, oh my God, he goes, this was like serendipitous. And then we can turn around and do this big auction, which we raised $102,000 for the Boston Children's Hospital under the Danny Strong Fund. And, he was like, oh my God, this is awesome. I was just doing this and now I get to help. And Ann O'Grady would, so they were all over that. And, the Operation Smile that Mark Burnett used to, put forward, back in the day when, you and I were on the show and stuff like that. It's awesome. And I constantly tell everybody about, what about the people on Survivor? I'm like, wow, you should see some of the resumes of these people. Oh, and by the way, over the past 18 years, we've helped raise probably $20 million for charities, doing all these events and all this other stuff. And to be part of that kind of group, to be just on the show, period, for me was a blessing. And to meet all you guys and meet everybody else is a blessing because everyone is so good about giving their time and our 15 minutes of fame to help other people. Yeah.
And Terry, you made a comment about Probst, and he's got such a big heart as far as off camera with everything he does for so many groups. But I read that after the cameras are off and he was taking you, to get you back home, after the cameras were totally turned off, he handed you his cell phone and he took off his hat and gave it to you and told you to give it to Danny.
And Danny has that hat in his room right now.
Yeah, he's a really great guy, no matter what you think of him as far as on air. Behind the cameras, he's got a heart of gold.
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, he's a hard grinder. I mean, he works his butt off, but yes to all of those. And he's a great guy. I'd definitely go have some beers with him anytime. But I will tell you one funny story. So last time I was on S31, we did one of those blind challenges, we're all blindfolded and stuff. And I'm like running around with Keith Mayall and I couldn't hear Cass Quillen. I couldn't hear her. Like, my hearing stinks anyway, but from all the flying, but I had a hard time hearing her because her voice was so high. And every time we got near Jeff, Jeff's like, oh, and Keith just tripped over this and he doesn't know where he is. And I couldn't hear. I was like, Jeff, shut the hell up. I can't hear shit. he grabs me by the shoulder. He goes, shut up, Keith. I'm doing the show, You get those kind of fun moments in the thing where, he's just another guy, another girl or a guy, you're just busting their balls and having fun doing it, you don't hear that on TV, but it's just cool stuff. He's a great guy. He really is. I really like Jeff and he's done a lot for our family.
When somebody messes with his show or they're not going all out or, even when B quit, when B pulled herself out of the game, I know it's kind of going back and forth on whether
four quarters or a dollar, T-Bird. Yeah.
Okay. When B quit, you could tell, Rob, Probst didn't really, he does not like anybody, I guess, as many people wanting to do this. He doesn't like to see anybody pulling himself out. And I totally get that. So, yeah, he loves his game. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
We got to ask you this because Tyson Apostle and Danny Bryson, is that right, Rob?
Yes, you're right.
So they do crazy stories of the week. And a lot of times they'll actually do, it seems like they find worst behaving passengers of the week. So Rob had asked me about that. I didn't really have any very cool stories to tell as far as misbehaving passengers. I know you've got a story or two for us. Let us hear it.
Because, Terry, we tend to cover, we hear these news stories about people acting crazy on airplanes. And I was asking T-Bird, is it as bad as it sounds out there?
You know what? It's most well, Rob. I don't want to get serious, but prior to 9/11, we were more interactive with the passengers.
Yeah.
Post 9/11, we were literally
down
behind a bulletproof door.
Yeah.
And you know, before and after the flight, but the flight attendants. I tell you, all right. Do you know what crop dusting is?
Well, I don't know. Are we talking in aviation terms?
All right. Well, if people were bumming you out and you were a flight attendant, and as you get up in altitude, everyone kind of has a little extra gas. And if you were walking up and down the aisle and people are sleeping with their mouths open, and you're doing a little crop dusting, my friend.
T-Bird, is this true? Have you ever heard of this?
No, you know what?
Never from T-Bird. She's a lady. T-Bird would never do that.
I just thought that's how Delta started. We were at crop dusting.
That's how Delta started?
No, not that. But then I thought, I don't think that's where Terry's going with this. But Terry, it's so funny. So Terry, I told Rob the same thing. I said, you know, back before 9/11, but after 9/11, the captains, which I know you do this, they'll say, you know, shut it down, Rob. Is that what we say? Shut it down. Don't see it anymore.
Terry, also, T-Bird told us that she once flew on a flight with Andre the Giant. Did you ever have Andre the Giant on one of your flights?
Oh, my God, no. But I have never had Andre the Giant. But I recently, a little while ago, I think we were going down to Argentina, to Buenos Aires, and we had the Cake Boss
from
Staten Island. Yeah, the Cake Boss was on, and I was out, like, we had three pilots, so I was out in the first class galley doing a break, and he kind of came up to get something for his kids or something, and he goes, holy crap, Terry, right? Survivor, right? And I'm like, holy shit, you know, it's like, you're going back and forth with the Cake Boss, he's like he wants to go on Survivor, and you're like, well, you're the Cake Boss, my daughter went down and had a birthday at your joint, and you know, whatever, and it's, Survivor is like a mutual thing, you know, no matter how famous other people are, they look at you and, you know, dude, that dude was on Survivor. Holy crap. He hung it out there. And they're like, oh, I could never do that. I'm like, you're 16 hours in front of a camera, you know, and eight changes, you know, every 4 hours. And like, yeah, but I couldn't do Survivor. No way, man. Good job. But, you know, whatever. That gets pretty interesting. And I do run into people a lot that'll go, they'll hear my name from the flight attendants or something from the PA, and they'll go, oh my God, there's Terry from Survivor. That, our captain was Terry from Survivor. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, because like, you get on and say, yeah, the captain today is Terry Dietz, or is it just like Captain Dietz? How do you describe yourself?
When I say my PA, I just say, hey, this is Captain Terry Dietz. Welcome aboard, blah, 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 blah. Probes will tell you I talk a lot, which I probably do, but I do not talk a lot on the PA. So a lot of people don't like hearing, you know, these captains drone on about, oh, we're going over, you know, Eastern Missouri this afternoon. I'm like, who cares? We're up at altitude. We got 4 hours left. The weather in Santa Ana is great. And then I'll tell you when we cross the Mississippi, when we're halfway there. That's about it. That's all you're going to get.
They just want to know what time we're landing, but you're right. They do not want to hear those PAs. Hey, they're watching movies. They're sleeping. So, yeah, they're at
Hey,
can you hear me? I need to ask you, I got a question about second chances. I've just got to clear this up. So, you know, you and I talked, maybe we had a conversation, you know, when we thought we were going on second chances, and you never, ever mentioned to me to be part of the Dream Team. So, I heard after the fact that I was kind of maybe like the fifth generation removed, whatever that means, like, you know, the fifth or sixth cousin out. So I'm just curious, didn't you think you could trust another airline employee?
No. All right. So you know the whole Survivor thing. There's the upper echelon, and then there's your dudes. But, you know, you were definitely a bro chacha.
That's good.
As close as I was that I got to a couple of the people on the show, it was always like, all right, when we get back merged, T-Bird and I are going to the finals, and you know, whoever else can hang with us is going. But you can't, you know, obviously you can't tell other, they know you're an airline person. They know I'm an airline person. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh yeah, we keep those two apart, you know? So I was like, yeah. She's just there.
Hey, Terry.
Yes.
Hey, Terry.
What?
You know how you can tell when a pilot's lying?
How?
When his mouth's moving. You know, I don't believe that story for one half a second. I thought you were different than the other pilot.
It sounds like Terry had big plans for you, T-Bird.
You were gonna be
T-Bird is upset because I said recently on another podcast that it sounds like that T-Bird had so many alliances going into Survivor Second Chances, but she corrected me that was not the case.
She only had one, and it was with me.
Yes.
We conjured the whole show.
We even told Probes to make it three tribes at one point. And so it would mess things up, but so that T-Bird and I could get back together on the last tribe. So we were over in London on a layover and we figured all this stuff out. Yeah.
And then you guys had an alliance name too. You guys were the Crop Dusters, right?
No, I told you T-Bird's a lady. She does not crop dust. But in all fairness, Don't fall asleep with your mouth open.
I won't. I'll wear my Survivor buff the next time I'm on a flight. All right. Terry, thank you so much for coming on with us. And T-Bird, thank you so much for putting this together.
Absolutely. Yeah, you guys, I love you guys both. Thank you. Great.
I do have one quick thing for you to tell the fans.
Yes.
How do you think the season's going so far?
I think it's been
both of you.
I think it's been a great season. I feel like that everybody has been, super positive from everything I've read in terms of that they feel like they really know the characters and it's been unpredictable. And I think that's really all that we need in a Survivor season are, you know, people that we can root for and, you know, and have, you know, fun characters and then not knowing what's going to happen from week to week.
And Terry, when you go and kind of get caught up, you're going to love these characters and you are really going to love the Brochachos because they're so kind of diverse. you're going to be proud to be associated with that group.
All right.
They're doing it for you, Terry.
All right. The seatbelt sign is off. You're now free to move about the island.
Okay. Terry, you want people to follow you on social media?
I'm on Twitter and I'm on Facebook. My wife and I share the Facebook page, but I'm on Twitter. Anyone wants to hit me up there, I'll follow y'all and all that stuff. So rock on, Survivor, and to all the fans out there, thanks so much for watching. We are all still super fans of the show. Even to this day, after all these years, it is way cool.
Okay.
Keep it up. Thank you so much.
All right. Follow at Dietz_Terry on Twitter. And of course, follow at T-Bird Cooper, who's been so super active after the last podcast. T-Bird, such nice responses from the fans since we talked the other day.
It's been so much fun. It really has, Rob.
Yes,
it has. You know what? I'm trying to think of any kind of, well, I wanted to say that it's been great. It's been great.
Okay. All right.
Rob, next time I'm up in LA, man, I'll hit you up.
Okay. Sounds good, Terry.
All right, you guys.
T-Bird, anytime I need a co-host, I'm going to have you come on.
I would love it.
Okay. All right.
I tried to scale back. Rob, did you notice I tried to scale back?
I did. Good work. All right. Take care, guys.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye now.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Terry Dietz and T-Bird Cooper back here on the podcast so soon after just being back on. But glad we were able to get a hold of Terry, put the whole Brochacho gate to bed. Very happy to hear Terry is not upset with the new Brochachos. And hopefully one day all the Brochachos can live in peace and harmony in Slamtown, happily ever after. Okay, so coming up next, of course, there's going to be a News AF dropping for you all to listen to. And then Survivor Know-It-Alls, but a little bit of a wrinkle tonight. Happy Halloween, everybody that's listening on Wednesday. We are going to, as in Steven and I, we're going to be recording that podcast, but we will not be live, unfortunately. We will have audio, we will have video, but we will be posted later in the night on Wednesday night. I need to be out there knocking on strangers' doors and getting candy with my children on Wednesday night. So you guys will have a podcast. We just won't be live. So I apologize about that. We'll have everything back to normal the following Wednesday, but then we'll have a very busy week of podcasting. Randy Bailey coming up. We've got our exit interview, Ali Lasher on the Feedback Show, and yet another Wiggle Room and Wand Off coming up this weekend. So plenty to do. Thanks so much for checking it all out. Of course, if you want to see more about what's going on with Rob as a Podcast and then become a part of our RHAP patron community and hear all of those Wand Offs, all sorts of things going on, go to robisawebsite.com/patron for more information. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.